Quick special announcement. Our regular co-host, Andy, is still off celebrating the birth of his brand new baby boy, and I couldn't be happier for him. In the meantime, for this episode, though, I have a special guest. It's from Twitch, Garbage Andy. His name's Garbage Andy. It's not a character that Andy's doing where he dresses in garbage and does a voice, which is certainly something that this show could very well do one day. But that's not happening now. It's actually Garbage Andy. Here we go. Welcome to the show, Garbage Andy. It is a pleasure to have you.
Hello, Sean. I am excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. I encountered you via Twitch. I know you do a ton of streaming of Magic. And also Commander games too. I know that Twitch has way more drafting on there than there is Commander games, but I have seen you playing some Commander. That's why I reached out, because I know you're in the club.
Yes, absolutely. I haven't played on my own stream in a while, but I have done some guest streams. So yeah, I'm definitely in the EDH community, but I was kind of like indoctrinated into it. It's interesting. I wasn't like super heavily into it until I made friends that are obviously very into it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how we all get into it, I think. Someone and give us a secret envelope with a seal, a wax seal. We go to a secret underground club, and then we play Commander for the first time.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wearing those creepy faceless masks.
Oh, yeah. You got to get indoctrinated in that way, you know?
Yeah, yeah, real eyes wide shut type of stuff, but nothing gross. Nothing gross. Just Commander games.
Yes, absolutely.
Great. Garbage Andy, should I formally address you as Mr. Andy or just Garbage? I don't know your middle name, but is your full name Garbage J Andy? I don't know. What do you prefer?
So you actually got my middle name right.
What?
You did. Yeah, so my middle name is Joseph.
Amazing.
So I've never done my full name on stream before, obviously. I don't know why. I've just kind of like stuck to not doing my last name.
Valid. I don't want to put you on the spot. You certainly don't need to share anything you don't want to. I'm just kind of riffing on that, like that your actual first name given by your parents is Garbage.
Yes. Well, first of all, yes. And my name is Garbage on my birth certificate. They wanted to just let me know from birth, worth overall.
Well, what a triumph to overcome that and, you know, be such a successful person.
Yeah, it's really against all odds when you're named that from birth, really.
It's a bit of a boy named Sue thing going on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I do love your stream. If you don't watch the stream, I would recommend watching it. On Twitch, drafting, keeping out for Commander. Just you've got so many fun little... You're a streamer who uses Twitch to its fullest ability, I think. There's lots of fun little, what would you call them, little animated things, little animated triggers that people can get to have happen by spending channel points. And there's one tied to a shart, which is, it makes me laugh very hard every time I hear it. It's very funny.
Yeah, that one is polarizing. The last few things that I've added to the stream have been that and then the air horn, but it's like, so you know the rap air horn that's like
beep, beep, oh yeah, beep, beep, right? Beep,
everyone has that, like every streamer on their soundboard has that. It doesn't matter for Magic or whatever, and I was like, what's the worst horn I can find so I could be the garbage version of it? And so I found this like really long, bad, like crappy air horn, and I put that, I tied it to an animation and also like my soundboard that I have here. And that was, I remember I got raided by somebody and they, like, people were new and, you know, the air horn was new and I'm just addicted to hitting it. And people in chat were legitimately like, yeah, I'm going to leave if the horn keeps going. And I was like, okay, aww, hold on. I guess we gotta change the volume. There's a whole saga with the things that we put on for the show, but yeah, I would definitely, like to make it an interesting place to be for sure.
Yeah, it is. It is. Recommended to everybody. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about Commander specifically. I'd love to, like, what's your, like what kind, and we're going to talk about a deck that you brought to us. We're going to share that a little bit later in the episode, but what's your general commander vibe? Like, what do you love about it? What do you feel like doing when you're playing? What's your favorite game actions to take?
Oh, it's a good question. I think I'm still exploring that because there are things that I'm interested in when it comes to commander, but I haven't fully explored. Like, I love politicking. And not because I think it's particularly like good, but because the reason I play commander and think commander is great is because it's almost like, so I used to play D&D. I haven't in a while, but I think it's a really good way to just like get friends together and laugh and like, you know, have a beer or whatever. And
totally.
So like when I sit down, even if I'm not playing a politicky deck, I like to at least make people laugh or like question their decision making based on me just like interjecting for no reason. I try not to be annoying about it, you know, like I'm not out here like being like a pain in the butt to play with, but I just enjoy like having fun with the format, because when I draft on stream, you know, I am having fun too. Like I'm doing silly things and messing around a lot, but you know, there's money on the line. It's like drafts. I'm trying to be, you know, decent at the game, like not full trash, you know? So it's like when I play a casual format like Commander, I really just like to lean into the fun and like have a good time with friends. And as far as decks that I like to play, I'm like, I've been playing Magic since 1999-ish, like 2000-ish.
Okay.
So Magic Boomer here checking in. Full Boomer, but like, yeah, like around like Onslaught and that era, like Odyssey block, the early 2000s, that stuff is when I really got into the game coming off of Pokemon as a kid.
Yeah, okay.
And so I'm a big fan of like creature stuff, and I think that's a good, kind of like introduction to the deck we'll talk about later, because the deck that I made that we're going to talk about is the first like real commander deck I made, in that I made it from scratch, and I hadn't done that before I made this. So,
well, my clue that you made this from scratch is that the sideboard on the link you sent me was 192 cards.
Yeah.
Which is I mean, that any commander deck builder will tell you, step one is assemble like 300 cards and then cut it down to 99.
Yeah. It was also a deck that I built with Twitch chat, which was really fun.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I had Moxfield up and a bunch of links, and we kind of just like went together. Because, I mean, you know this. I'm sure the people listening at home know this. Like, there's a billion Magic cards. And
yeah,
so when I
make a
deck,
there are a billion of them.
You know, like when I make a deck that I want to be fun, I like people to chime in and be like, hey, what about this? And I'm like, oh yeah, that's amazing. That goes right in the deck. So it was a conversation, you know, deck too, which was really like fun.
So far, 2 for 2 on what's great about Commander, right? Like just having fun, having a few laughs with pals, playing a casual game. And we do that on our show too. Like we've got a Discord for the show, and we brew show decks with people. Like, and I should say my other co-host is Andy, right? I'm only able to work with people named Andy because I can't remember another name. Mm-hmm. It's kind of how like Tony Danza's always Tony in any show he's ever on.
Yeah.
I assume it's because as an actor, he can't remember he's another name. So I also think it's very important that you were able to come on the show because you're also Andy. Me and other Andy, if you're garbage Andy, I guess the other Andy would be, what's different from recycling Andy? That'll be recycling Andy.
Compost as well.
Compost Andy. Yeah. There's room for like organics Andy. Okay. So Compost Andy and I will brew with our Discord, right? Which is similar to brewing on Twitch, I guess. Just there are a billion cards. I can't think of all of them.
Yeah.
And it takes forever to read everything that has a certain kind of word on it. So that's great. I love it. What a fun time. I don't know how deep you have gotten into the world of Commander and just thinking about things. A little spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about a Blex deck. Blex cares a lot about, you know, creature types like bats, insects, pests, snakes, and spiders. Now, sometimes I I've got a little bit of a beef with Wizards and how they handle types. I think they get a little too cozy with types, and they don't have enough. I can't follow their logic. When in Eldraine, when that vehicle made mice, when there's already rats everywhere, really drove me up the wall. Mm-hmm. And also how, like, because Blex cares about snakes, but really, like, where's the line? There's Naga, who are sort of snake people, but they're not snakes, but they are snakes. I don't know. I don't know if your back gets up as much as mine does for this sort of thing.
I definitely know what you're talking about for sure. It can get frustrating. I think there was one of the most recent examples that comes to mind is the dragons, or are the dragons from AFR, because as a D&D player and enjoyer, I know a lot of people were like, well, those are dragonkin, because if they were called dragon, it would be an insult to their, their race. So there's some specificity. I think they I don't know. It's an interesting conversation. It's one that I think I'm sure is like probably way more complicated than we know. But maybe they do research into, well, if this was a rat, this would be absolutely busted in a rat deck. Or, if this was a dragon kin, then we have to add this whole new thing. So making interactions for limited sets or even EDH by just calling it dragon might have been the right call, even if it's a flavor fail. So it's a complicated one, but I tend to not get too upset about it. I think I get more upset about like color identity more than I do about like type.
Like what was it? What was, I might be getting my sets mixed up, but wasn't there a dragon that was like, this is what, purple dragon? Yeah, wasn't purple dragon in it?
I think
we
so.
Have purple dragon. What, like, you've got all the other colors. Like, just pick one that is a color that is in Magic. Like,
yeah,
don't make us
silly.
Think about purple.
Yeah.
My problem, too, was way back in when Battle for Zendikar, not Battle, or the other Zendikar Rising, the most recent Zendikar one with the party mechanic.
Yeah.
How it's all supposed to be like D&D stuff. But I'm like, you've already got so many more party types already in the game that you're just ignoring right now.
Well, the biggest frustration for that was, I feel like we're just on like a hate on Wizards rant right now. But like the biggest frustration for me there was that it alluded to, it becoming more powerful in rotating formats when AFR came out, and then they did literally nothing for party, like nothing. There was nothing that was valuable added to the party, mechanic at all. During the D&D set, which is all about parties and playing Dungeons and Dragons. So I found that to be a huge fail, because when I like, as an ex D&D player, or like a, one that would like to play D&D again sometime, like
a recovering D&D player.
Yeah, a recovering D&D player. I was excited when, Zendikar came out, because I was like, oh, wow, look at how they're tying this year of releases together. And then they just got like completely let me down in that department. I still liked AFR a lot, and it did bring a lot of people to Magic for sure. But it was pretty disappointing, I think, for that reason.
It must be so hard for them to read, because Magic players notoriously complain about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously that's a sign that we love this game. Like we wouldn't even play. Like we would be indifferent if we didn't care. But it must be hard as a designer there to just read people complaining. It's like, yeah, we couldn't do everything. Like, move on.
Yeah,
It's true. I don't want to hate on them too much. It's fun to like, get on our soapboxes. But it is a great game, and I love playing it. And you brought us a very cool deck that I would like to start talking about. How's that sound?
Yeah, let's do it.
Just want to jump in and say thank you for listening. It really does mean a lot. Some of you have gone over to patreon.com/commandersbrew to donate that way. That helps out enormously as well. Helps us keep growing and going strong. If you want to help out in other ways, you can give us a like and a subscribe on YouTube, or maybe when you order your singles, go through the TCG player link in the show notes. Any cards you order through that link, we get a little kickback on that. So that helps out as well if you're planning on buying cards. unless you're Canadian, then we've got the best deal on cards for you from the Wizard's Tower. Let's hear an ad from them now. You enter the cave and discover that we're proud Canadian podcasters. And we're proud to be sponsored by one of Canada's premier card stores, the Wizard's Tower, wizardtower.com. Canadian listeners get an exclusive coupon code, BREWADVENTURES, to get 5% off any order of singles, shipped to you for free, as long as you've ordered $15 or more in singles. And you can check out our deck list for this week's episode and other episodes we've done on their content site, mtgcanada.com. Now, roll a perception check. All right, we're talking about Blex. You've called this deck Blex Creepy Crawlies, and I think that's a great name. Blex loves the Creepy Crawlies. Blex is a 2 and a green legendary creature who is a pest, 3/2, who gives other pests, bats, insects, snakes, and spiders +1/+1. And when Blex dies, you gain 4 life. Blex is a sort of insect or I guess a creepy crawly lord, like a boss of those ones. Mm-hmm. But Blex is cool because Blex is double-sided and there's a spell on the back. It's very cool to have a sorcery in the command zone. Search for Blex. I mean, spoiler alert, he's on the other side of this card. But 2 black-black sorcery. Look at the top 5 cards of your library. Put any number of them in your hand and the rest into your graveyard, and you lose 3 life for each one you put in your hand this way. I think this is such a cool mechanic. And, you know, the commander tax goes up either way, whether you cast it as a sorcery or Blex comes out and dies. Do you find yourself mostly casting Blex because of all the creepy crawlies? How often do you cast Search for Blex?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I built the deck around the creature. So I've never cast Search for Blex, ever. But yeah. I do think it's cool to have the flexibility, right? Like, having that in the command zone is an interesting... You know, card advantage is just good in Magic, especially in a 100-card format where you might not see the thing you need. So looking at 5 cards and finding the ones you need, plus losing 3 life, like, it's kind of built for Commander, right? Because your health total is a resource, as we always say.
It is.
So it is useful. I've never played that side of the card before, but I don't think it's unreasonable to do so.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pain in the butt to take it out of the sleeve, too. Like, yeah. It's just easier to leave it in. Or you got to have 2, and that's a pain also. Yeah, mm-hmm. This is best. So, okay, great. Let's go. Normally on the show here, if you're a longtime listener, you'll know we start with we set the scene. We talk about the vegetables of the deck, you know, kind of the basics, what makes it tick. We save the fancy stuff for later. But Andy, you've brought us the vegetables we are going to take part on are like, it's like the Met Gala vegetables. These are the vegetables. We do a bit of a budget podcast around here, but you got some bangers, to be fair. Mana Crypt is in here. Y'all know Mana. I mean, you might not know Mana Crypt if you play budget, but it's 0 for an artifact. You flip a coin and maybe lose 3 life when you lose the flip every turn, and it taps for 2. Super Sol Ring. One of your nice removal spells is Damnation. 2 black-black, destroy all creatures. This only is expensive because they don't print enough mono black board wipes. But I mean, the color shifted to white 1 once and refused to reprint it too much. So that's why this one's pricey. And, this one too, the Great Henge. Man, we all knew this card would be amazing. It's the 7 green-green legendary artifact that costs X less, where X is the biggest creature you have, the highest power. Taps for 2, and whenever a creature enters non-token, you draw a card and put a +1/+1 counter on it. Amazing. Amazing. This is a... If half your plate should be the vegetables... We are getting all of our vitamins and minerals out of these. Well done, Andy. These are great. These are great.
Cheers. Yeah, admittedly, so, and I might take flack for this, but I'm comfortable talking about it. I am an advocate for proxies, especially in EDH.
Oh, yeah.
I think that what makes EDH so fun is the accessibility, and I also think that, you know, if somebody wants to play with powerful cards... they should be able to, right? And like I've played CEDH before. I have a Godo deck. It's an infinite combat deck that's made by Gitos, who's an awesome brewer and made the deck. And, you know, that's obviously you can win on turn two or three. And this deck really can't. So there's like a common theme with my deck building where I'll put super powerful cards in. And I just did this with Alias actually on her her fun casual commander show for Cool Stuff, which was great. But so like I have Will Health, for instance, the new zombie commander. And I have a bunch of really good cards in it, but the deck overall is just a zombie tribal deck. Like, I'm not trying to do anything fancy, go infinite, do anything like that. So that's kind of what I did here. Like, I have some good cards, and going back to the proxy thing, I do own, I would say, 99% and maybe 98% of these cards. The things I don't own in paper are the lands. I own every single thing else. So I don't own a Bayou. I don't own a Gaia's Cradle. Every single.
Okay.
And I don't own Urborg, but that's not too pricey, I don't think. So that's it.
I don't think anyone would give you flack for it. I mean, we consider ourselves a bit of a budget podcast. When we started the show, we would do $50 decks, but we had to creep that up to 100 because a lot of the staples got expensive. But the cards we're talking about, Mana Crypt, Damnation, The Great Henge, these cards are expensive only because they kind of have to go in every deck if you want to be on a level playing field with everyone else who just runs these, because they're the best at what they do.
Right.
And that should never be, like, these ones, if anything, it's like, I know it's all supply and demand, and I'm not an economist. I don't get how the world works when it comes to money, but these ones should be 50 cents. And like cards, like the commanders should be the expensive ones because they're the special ones. They're the ones that are like, ooh, this is special to me. I saved up for this one. But it's like, no, you know, the most interesting card in the deck is 50 cents. But this one that just does a basic thing, $150. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous to consider a $100 deck as budget. And it's like, you know, you can do a lot for $100. You can go to a very nice restaurant for $100.
Yeah.
That seems too much for a deck. So I'm all for proxies as well. I'm not going to give you any flack on that whatsoever.
Cool.
So we've talked about some of the vegetables. So another thing that's we're going to get to the neat moves of the deck, which is kind of the next section. And Andy, I want to give you the honor of throwing us to the neat move section. So, and the only thing you need to know to do that is to say neat moves in kind of a very awkward manner. It's a tradition we've just kept going from the beginning.
All right, here, I'm going to put some reverb on for it.
Okay.
It's time for some neat moves.
Working on a neat moves.
Fantastic.
Is that weird enough?
That's perfect. I love it. We like it weird around here.
I stared into the camera too, so.
Yes. I felt it. I felt it into my soul.
Right.
There's a sacrifice sub theme. So needless to say, Blex has a lot of little creepy crawlies, insects, spiders. I'm thinking tokens will appear. So of course there's a sacrifice sub theme. You've got one of my faves, Evolutionary Leap. That's the one in a green enchantment. Pay a green, sack a creature, and reveal cards until you hit another creature and put that one in your hand. Amazing. I love this card. I'm glad it's under a buck too. See, this is the kind of card that should be under a buck because it's useful.
Right.
Getting more card advantage out of stuff you don't need anymore, right? All those little pests, maybe getting a life while you do that too. And then Mazarek, Kral Death Priest, 3 black, green. An excellent commander in their own right. 2/2 Insect Shaman. Already an insect too, right? See, this is the cool thing about this deck, Andy, may I say. I don't have a lot of tribal decks. I don't have a Blex deck. So I don't know. I didn't realize Mazarek was an insect until we started going through this, until you sent me the deck list, which is so cool. But not only that, it fits the theme perfectly. Whenever anyone sacrifices a permanent, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. That's a lot.
It's very powerful.
Yeah, it's great. I love sacrificing. And then to sacrifice, you've got tons of things that make tokens. You need them. I know you've put two, I think they're they're certainly pals of Blex because they're from Strixhaven. This is Sedgemoor Witch, the two in a black menace creature that makes a pest whenever you cast an instant or sorcery. And of course, Belladros Witherbloom, the leader of Witherbloom themselves, making a pest every upkeep, and you can just untap all your lands for 10 life. Again, another good commander in their own right, but here, you know, this is not an insect, a pest, or a snake, or a spider. This is Belladros is in because they know Blex. Blex and them go way back.
Yeah. So Sedgemoor Witch, this is actually, real quick, this is actually one of my favorite cards in the deck. And not because it's powerful and not because it's crazy. It is powerful. It's a great card. But what I love about it is the like fake lore that we made for this. So Sedgemoor Witch is a friend of Blex's in the woods. And if you go down to the lands, you can see we have the witch's clinic, and that's her house. So
yes,
we've built the lore that you know, they're familiars with each other, and she's one of the few like actually non-insect or snake or pest or whatever creatures in the deck. So she's one of his familiars in this world we've built here.
Well, I love it. That's half the fun of Commander sometimes. I'm taking a closer look at the art here. I know that Sedgemoor Witch makes pests by the rules, and I think I have an idea of what a pest looks like. It looks like a little bit of a you call it, a little like tribble, like a toothy tribble kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I see insects, I see bats. I don't see a snake, but I think you might be right, because half of Blex's things are in. Oh, she's wearing a snake around her neck.
Mm-hmm.
All of Blex's things are in here.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, they're all present.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, it's very cool.
You know, this is a great lesson for life. Sometimes you got to slow down and like look at things. As we said before, there are a billion Magic cards, and in my brain, a lot of them are shortcutted to like a couple of numbers. Oh, this one, it's 2 in a black, 3/2 menace, makes 1/1s that give you life. But that does not do Sedgemoor Witch any justice. There is a lot more going on here. So thank you for enlightening me and, you know, giving me the lesson to slow down and look at some pictures once in a while.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's I love that so much. She's a really cool piece to this deck, I think.
Yeah, cool. Another piece I love then here is Giant Adaphage. That's the trampler for 7. It's a 7/7, and whenever it deals combat damage, you create a token that's a copy of it, and it's an insect.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that card is such a beating. It's so crazy how good this card is. Like, if it resolves, it's really difficult and annoying to deal with.
Yeah.
It's a super fun card for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. And here's another reason I love brewing with big minds, with a lot of people together. You've got a card called Snake Basket. I've never heard of Snake Basket before. It was originally from Visions, but you can get it in the World Champion deck from the year 2000. It's an artifact for 4, and you pay X and sacrifice it and put X 1/1 green Cobra creatures. It's been oracled into snake creature tokens. Activate as a sorcery. This is amazing. This card's great. Even if you're not into snakes, being able to like just make a 1/1 token per mana after you've paid for the artifact is a pretty useful ability that I think a lot of decks would want.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things with building this deck, and like one of the things that was a balance when I was talking to chat about it, was how flavorful can we be without sacrificing too much power. So like a lot of the cuts that had to be made in this deck were often cards that I was attached to for flavor reasons, just because I didn't aim to make an amazing EDH deck. Like the goal with Blex was never to be like, this is a competitive deck, like I love it, I bring this in. Like I play this deck because I like you know, like silly monsters, and that's it. So like,
yeah,
finding cards that have the word snake on them and it's a snake basket, like that's hilarious. It's not an incredible Magic card, but I just love that in the deck, so I decided to keep it. You know, there's probably some better, there are definitely better cards than Snake Basket to include in the Golgari list. But what I've always loved, and again, going back to your question, when we were talking about it earlier, is like when I love like tribal decks and I love flavorful decks. I love decks that feel consistent thematically. There's a lot of Magic cards, and there are some in here. It's not like pure flavor, but it's, you know, there are a lot of Magic cards that are just good and are played in every EDH deck because they are good, right? And again, there is some of that in here, but I am somebody who values the kind of like creativity of it all a little bit higher. So I did prioritize that when making selections for this, for sure.
Yeah, much respect for that too. I mean, it you're right. It is easy, especially with resources like EDH Rec and like the rate at which Wizards is printing such powerful cards. It is easy to just say like, hey, what commander are you? I'm Jeskai. It's like, okay, cool. I've got your cards. I don't even need to know what your commander is. I can tell you the 99 best Jeskai cards.
Yeah.
Just for pure power. Yeah, and it's great to like, that's what Commander's all about, right? It's a casual format. You gotta have this flavor. And then like, it takes me back to like imagining just knocking over this basket and a bunch of snakes coming out. Great. That's terrifying. That's what I want.
Yeah.
And there are 2/2s
sure.
in this deck. Yeah. Okay. Here's so less thematically, I mean, thematically for the deck, but less like thematically for discussion points. I mean, this card is excellent in here. Maskwood Nexus. It's a recent print from Kaldheim, but man, this is amped tribal decks up to the moon. It's already up to $5, right? We called it back. Well, it's getting four or five. It's perfect for any, like we had to lean on, what was it, Conspiracy before, that blue one? But now creatures you control are every creature type. Wait
yeah.
a minute. Does this give one per thing? Does Blex give more than one?
So,
no, okay.
It will only trigger once off Blex. So you'll only get the benefit once. But this card's incredible. Like, first of all, I loved Kaldheim. As a limited player, it was probably my favorite standard set to release this year as far as just like gameplay and I just loved it so much. It was super fun.
I'm floored that it was this year. It feels like Kaldheim was like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well it was,
I don't know.
Last
time is weird
year.
For me.
It was it within was last the last year? Year.
Okay.
Was it 2021? No.
Honestly, Andy, I don't mean I'm not trying to pick a hole. I just like, you know, had a baby this year. We've been in a pandemic. Like time is my head cannot wrap its head around the calendar anymore.
Me neither. So regardless of the year it came out, Maskwood Nexus is an incredible card. It does everything you want it to do. It makes all your creatures fetchable if they have effects that care about that. It will like help pump them up. It will help, you know, there's a lot of synergy enabling. And then also you can just, it's a mana sink. You just make creatures. So
yeah.
like, you know, it's just a great card. You know, auto include in the deck. Whereas there, like, if you look in the sideboard of a billion cards, like I said, there's like Coat of Arms, and there was a point where we were talking about tribal cards, like Coat of Arms in particular, right? It is great, but the reason we cut cards like that is because this isn't, it's a group tribal deck, you know? So if Blex just pumped up Pests, then we would keep the, you know, typical tribal cards to make the deck better. But in this deck, we favored just like, you know, slightly obscure synergistic stuff that maybe, you know, is just good for other reasons, because it's kind of hard to rely on the, you know, singular creature type.
Yeah, you hit it exactly. I think like what a perfect card for the deck. Yeah, you don't have to lose any of the fun to do it too.
Yeah,
you've got one of my favorite like don't attack me type of cards. It's Hornet's Nest. I swear, I think this should be in more commander decks. It's a 2 and a green. It's an insect. I never realized the nest itself had a creature type.
Yep.
It's a 0/2 with defender, but whenever it's dealt damage, you create that many 1/1 green insect creature tokens with flying and death touch. just to go back on my creature type point, they could have very easily invented Hornet as a type, and then it wouldn't work with Blex, and it wouldn't work. But at least these are just insects. Not to dwell on it, but like, we've got beasts, but we also have specific animals, which kind of bugs me. Like, how can there be beasts as well as bears?
Yeah.
If a bear is not a beast, then where are we living?
They could have kept it simple. It's not a simple game.
It's not a simple game. And I guess we like it that way.
Yeah.
Hornet's Nest. Love it. And then you got two, who I imagine are best pals here. Ishkanah is the one. Oh, I forgot to put it in my, Ishkanah is that legendary spider that you can pay 6 and a black to deal damage for the amount of spiders that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Goes up huge with Maskwood Nexus, but also, goodness. My note taking was not, who's the one who makes insects who makes spiders whenever your opponents cast spells?
I'm trying to remember.
Two mana, two green and two for a 35? Okay, I've got the deck in front of me. I'm going to scan for
it. I'm sorry, I don't even remember my own deck here. I haven't played it in a while, if I'm being honest with you.
Fair. I mean...
Arasta? Like, it's Arasta.
Arasta of the Endless Web. Yeah, so Arasta's making spiders. Ishkanah's draining everyone or just making everyone lose one for each spider you control.
Mm-hmm.
When Ishkanah came out in Eldritch Moon, Ishkanah was cool. But I think... And I never clocked this, but your deck has enlightened me. Like, now that Arasta's out, they're best pals. Now Ishkanah's super cool. And of course you're running Arachnogenesis. It's the fog that makes spider tokens for the number of creatures that are attacking you.
Mm-hmm.
Great little package there. Great little package. Love it.
Yeah, nothing too crazy, but fun.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it is. It's super fun. It's a weird deck. Like, it's... Yeah, it has a lot of it can be the games play out really interestingly, because like a lot of the times you'll either just be playing creatures and seem pretty sedate and then you'll get a win condition, or other times you just go like you go 0 to 60 really quickly, like, because there's a lot of micro synergies that you're talking about here that, you know, even I forget about sometimes, and then you play them and you're like, oh, wait a minute, like, I have this kind of like crazy board state and ability to do like insane things right now. So it's like, you know, every now and again, I'll get a game where the deck feels unfairly good. And then other times it'll be like, why did I, you know, it's like the worst deck. It's like I played a Signal Pest and like a 2/2 Stone Coil Serpent. And it's like, that's the worst. But it's, you know, that's what's fun about it. It's not, again, it's not trying to be anything crazy. It's for fun. It's a fun deck.
It's fun, and I swear, I'm like a child discovering again. You mentioned Signal Pest, and I was like, wait a minute, is that a pest? It is a pest.
Yeah.
I had no idea pests existed before Strixhaven. That's incredible to me.
Yeah, all the way, what is that, Mirrodin-ish?
Yeah, one of the newer Mirrodins, the like second round Mirrodin.
Which is hilarious. Yeah, I didn't really know either. But, you know, you search keywords and you're like, oh, pest did exist. And then you go grab it. I think it's the literal only pest, or it's one of the only pests. There's maybe like one other one that might be unplayable other than the tokens from Strixhaven.
Right.
Yeah.
I think they should make more Blex type of cards that help us corral some of the loose creature types. Like, I would love... some sort of animal commander that works for beasts and bears and elks and one or two more that I'm forgetting. Yeah. Give me like a rodent one. I guess Blex covers rats, but like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of room there, and I would love, Blex is a good starting point for that.
I agree. There's so many little creature types that, they're making a lot more now, right? I think they're focusing so heavily on commander. We're getting, you know, the new slug commander in Crimson Vow. Yeah. So I think they're focused on, I think, giving some of these, like, maybe cult classic creature types some love, so that, you know, somebody can whip out their favorite weird tribal deck or, you know, whatever they've got wanted to make for, like, ever, which is great. But I agree. I think that's cool. Like, what you said inspired me just there. I wish there was like a woodland creature, like an elemental, a woodland elemental that cared about elk and bears and like, you know, just woodland creatures. That's such a cool.
Yeah.
I love that. And that's, I think, what drew me to Blex too, is that it's just very like encompassing of creepy crawlies, which is like, as a kid, I loved, right? I loved insects and, you know, making, you know, sorts of toys that were bugs and snakes and things like that. So it's just like, it's a really fun, you know, way to build a deck, I think.
Totally. I want to highlight one more card. I love to highlight any card that I was like, this is an older card that I've never heard of, nor have I seen anywhere. This is really good. It's like a 50-cent card from Mercadian Masks, Snake Pit. It's a 4-mana enchantment. And whenever an opponent plays a blue or black spell, I don't know about you, but it's very rare there's not a blue player at the table or a black player. Like, the odds are impossible. This does not exist. Anytime an opponent plays a blue or black spell, you may put a 1/1 green snake creature token into play.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yeah, this was
perfect.
This was going to be a cut, actually, but it
Ooh.
Stayed.
Ooh. Okay, good, good. See, and I, not to dwell on it, but I know why. Because at a 4-mana enchantment, we've got like Wilderness Reclamation. Like, there's so many other cards in Commander that are like, well, this pales compared to those. You might not even, like, what if there is only one blue player? You're not going to get anything off of it. It's not what it's about. It's not what it's about.
Yeah, for sure. This is one I kind of, I fought Chad on this one too. You know, like, I was like, no, I want to keep this one. It's similar to Snake Basket, where it's like, it's so narrow and like not good, but it's called Snake Pit. And look at the art. It's just like perfect. This is what I want for the deck. So I said, again, the balance was figuring out cards that were flavorful, but also like fun and, you know, were good.
I believe Slash, when he quit Guns N' Roses, tried to make, I don't know if it was a band or just an album, Slash's Snake Pit, which this reminds me of. So I would definitely put a little, his hairdo and top hat on. Maybe put a little guitar in his arm.
I need an altar of that, like, really badly.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. That'd be pretty cool. That's the deck. That's only a part of it. Obviously, we can't talk about every card, but there's so many more insects. If it's okay with you, Andy, I'll like put it up on like a deck site. We go through TCG Player, so could I put a copy of this up there so that viewers can like look through?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, feel free.
Excellent. I'll put it up there. We'll give you the budget report in the meantime. We always do a budget report. We aim for about $100-$150. Total value of this deck is $2,427. The most not expensive cheap card we already mentioned, I'm not talking about lands. The most expensive non-land is Mana Crypt. That's $150. And when I say $150, I mean $150. Crater Hoof is up to $50. But I think when that secret lair drops with the child's drawings, when you get two in one secret lair, that has to bring this down, right?
I think so. But even then, I feel like it's, I don't know. I guess we'll see, because it's such an interesting printing of it that some people I don't think will love. Like, I love it,
right,
but I don't.
I love it.
It's not like, you know, the typical secret lair where it's kind of just like a cool version of it. It's like definitely a unique take on the card.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm psyched for it, but we'll see. Yeah, how it impacts the price.
Yeah, and then the third one is Great Henge, just $45. And again, I don't go into the lands because like the lands, everyone should proxy all the lands they want.
Mm-hmm.
As long as everyone is kind of at the same level, I think that's important. I mean, you know, Bayou and Guy's Cradle are in here, and those two together combined to $150 also. But like this time $1 means $1,000 and $50 means $500.
Mm-hmm.
But, and so I want to leave with this thought. Here's my closing thought here. We talked about proxies earlier. I'm all for them. But don't you... I noticed that on Gaia's Cradle, you can get a World Champion deck 1999 version for $200. Which, those are those gold border ones that are not legal in, like, tournament play. Like, they don't count. You can't just bring these to tournaments. Not that there's any Commander tournaments, but philosophically, they're not officially legal. But Commander players seem fine with them. That's why it's $200.
Right.
So then really philosophically, what is the difference between this and a proxy? Because if they're officially unrecognized, you know, why not just proxy it? I don't know. Instead of $200 for this one, proxy your own one for, I don't know, $1?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's all about your play group, right? I mean, if you're going to the LGS and playing, you know, tournaments or whatever it may be, then, you know, it's up to their discretion on what they want to allow. I think a $200 card, regardless of the color of its border, means you paid into the format. So, I mean,
I will never stop anyone from playing Commander with me. Well, I mean, it's about that conversation, right? If your deck is thousands of dollars, but it plays fun and casual feeling, great, bring it on. If it's meant to win on turn two, that's a different story. I don't have a deck to play with you then. I'm going to need to borrow one because I can't compete there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as long as we're having fun, that's kind of why I mentioned the lands. Like, I think we should all have full proxy set of lands. We should all be casting our spells. Let's just cast our spells, hit our land drops, not be stuck on mana, not be stuck on colors, not have everything come in tapped. Why not?
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
Andy, this has flown by.
It has.
What a treat it has been to talk to you. In closing, you want to remind everyone where they can reach you, the best way to reach you if they want to like hang out, chat, have some laughs?
Yeah, absolutely. Sean, thanks again for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course.
And other Andy, Recycling Andy or Compost Andy. I'm looking forward to catching the show when you're back on as well. You could find me on Twitch. I stream under Garbage Andy. You can come hang out with me. It's a good time. I like to draft. I think limited is my favorite way to play the game for sure. So I just, you know, draft all day on Arena. It's super fun, in my opinion, to watch that process from draft to gameplay. And occasionally I'll do different things. Like this Sunday, I'm doing some variety. I don't know if you guys know Pinfinity. Maybe you've seen Caleb before. He does some really great work. So if you've seen some of the influencer packages that they give out at Wizards, or you might have seen them online, he's a really cool dude. And he makes these awesome AR pins that are Magic themed. He does other games too, but they're like, if you use your camera, you get to, you know, check out the pin in like a 3D animated mode, which is great. So we're going to play some Back for Blood together, which is a new zombie shooting game.
The Left 4 Dead spiritual sequel?
Yeah, exactly.
I fell in love with Left 4 Dead, yeah.
So, occasionally I'll do some variety. I like altering cards too, which now I want to do a slash alter for Snake Pit.
Oh my God,
that made
yes.
me immediately want to do that. But yeah, other than that, you can find me on Twitter and all the other socials at Garbage Andy as well, but there's an underscore between the garbage and the Andy. So just be mindful of that. And yeah, that's it. Thanks a bunch again for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Andy. This was great. See you on Twitch.
Cool.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.